Leaders, we're so glad to be back with you. Not really glad the circumstances that this podcast is coming out. We actually have several recorded that should be coming your way soon, but we're jumping ahead of the line of the next few things. We're moving this new topic ahead because we wanted to talk specifically about the implications of the current moment we find ourselves in, specifically dealing with the coronavirus.
And dun, so, dun, dun.
Yes.
We're fine, you know. So
we're all currently fine, I believe, in this room. And so I'm joined, as always, by Sarah McCarthy.
Hey, guys.
Glad to have Sarah with us. And Tyler is here, as usual. But today we also have Flo. Flo's with us today.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
So, Flo, glad to have you with us.
The source of all wisdom.
Yes.
In our... many of our church conversations.
I'm not sure I agree with that.
Flo is a great person to have on a moment like this because she's a breadth to her that helps her stay in contact with many communities around the globe, but also has a great counseling perspective and help remind us on how to continue to reorient our hearts to what the scriptures teach, but also be wise as we do so. So yeah, we're really excited to talk about that with you all, just because we're glad we had this opportunity to talk about this with you. I'm not excited about the situation we find ourselves in, with places like Harvard and MIT closing up shop and sending people home. And out of an overabundance of caution, we support, you know, what these leaders are doing. But at the same time, we realize this is something we as a church need to talk about, especially those of you who lead, to help provide encouragement and guidance in this. So I want to throw this over to Sarah, who's going to take over for us and kind of point us to what we're going to be talking about today and lead us in this moment.
Yeah. So our goal today is to talk about how we as Christians, and in particular as leaders, but I think this is going to be very applicable to anybody who's following Jesus, how we think about a situation like the one we find ourselves in right now. We're not going to talk about what we are doing as a church, in large part because the situation is changing so quickly.
Sure.
And so a podcast is not necessarily the place to come for the most up-to-date information on what actions the church is taking. We'll be talking about those on other channels. But yeah, we really wanted to just offer some perspective on how do we think about this as Christians, and how do we lead others in this moment towards Jesus. Mm-hmm. So
we hope that this, you know, this discussion, though it'll be fairly brief, will help those of you, help kind of highlight some principles that you can use also. And there'll be future times of either crisis or challenge, you know, either on a personal level or in smaller communities or even large ones like this, that we hope that these scriptures can, and these topics can help.
Yeah.
These principles, rather, can help us grow more effectively, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have one wonderful Miss Flo right here. Do you want to take us into some of the principles that you've thought about as far as how we can be responding to this?
Sure. I think as I've been thinking about this, and honestly speaking, I've been thinking about this for a while because this started in Asia, and this has affected a lot of my family and friends months ago. So,
for those who don't know, Flo is from Hong Kong.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
And and so she has a lot of close family members who have kind of been walking through this before us. And so, yeah.
Yeah. The first one that I can really think of is what it looks like to guard our tongue and our thoughts. As followers of Jesus, I think our response should look very different to the world. And one of the ways in which it looks different is in our words and in how we think. Mm-hmm. And I remember just thinking through conversations with friends, with family, and what my wise and discerning response should be. So I just want to read Proverbs 18:21. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." And so maybe the question to ask ourselves very honestly is, how am I talking about the coronavirus when coworkers, when friends, when students, other people talk about it? What am I spreading? Am I spreading fear? Am I spreading news? Am I spreading rumors? Am I spreading exhortation, prayer, just God's sovereignty and trusting God? Like, what message am I saying? And in the same way, are my thoughts ones that give in to fear or otherwise? And the way that we guard our tongue and our thoughts needs to be centered back on Jesus and what we know of the truth. Right. The second one that I can think of is our main response is to turn to the Lord in prayer. And I think sometimes it seems as if prayer could be so minimal.
Right.
It's like we can't control anything. And so we try to pray about something so big and we don't even know how to pray. And so my encouragement for everyone is to put our trust in the Lord and to pray beyond ourselves, pray even beyond our own country and what we see with our eyes, but pray also for opportunities to see God's work in the midst of this, and pray against hopelessness, pray for joy in suffering, to suffer well, especially for those who might have very real anxieties. Sure. How do we pray for those people? I was thinking very much of our government and healthcare workers, the people on the front lines, mm-hmm. As well as the blue collar workers around us who may be going from paycheck to paycheck and thinking of what would happen to them if they have to just stop work mm-hmm. for 14 days.
Yeah,
sure.
For us, it's fine. For them, it's not so fine. Mm-hmm. What would it look like for our community to lift our voices up to the Lord and ask for his help? So that's the second thing that I'm thinking about.
And I think those two things kind of go together, just to stop for one second, because mm-hmm. someone told me, hey, jump on Twitter and just kind of scroll through what you see. And I haven't been on Twitter in months. This was just yesterday. Mm-hmm. I jumped on Twitter, like maybe even years, just to see. And I did see a lot of stuff referencing the coronavirus. I've seen it also in other social media feeds. And they all fall into one of two camps. Every single one of them, even people, Christians whom I love, family members of mine, friends, that say they pretty much all fall into either they're super anxious, almost heaving anxiety about what's happening, or this super apathetic joke making mm-hmm. meme generating. Right. And that's not how God calls us to respond primarily in either of those. He calls us to yes, pray and to rather than be fearful or just unwise and uncaring about the situation, to recognize and trust some of the information that we're being given, but then to respond in faith and bring this to God, not just to simply power up and try to fix it ourselves, you know, first and foremost, but first come to God, ask for greater wisdom and compassion and even his, how he would have us to respond. So I think that's flow. Yes. I think those two things are just linked, you know, the idea of watching our words, but who are we primarily talking to in the first place? Well, a God, and allowing him to speak to us and give us all that we need to respond appropriately as leaders.
Yeah. And I would add to that, like I know for myself, the prayerful piece has helped me to process some of my own like fears and anxieties before I speak to others about it. Like as leaders, if we're going to be ministering to people in our groups or on our teams or anywhere else, we have to have a place first with God and potentially with one another if there's stuff we need to talk about, like to process our own emotions and fears with the Lord before we're going and trying to help other people do the same. So yeah, I think that's a really powerful reminder that we need to start there.
And it's not like not recognizing what's going on, because I think that there could be a swing to sort of the extreme of, oh, we're just going to pray about it and everything's going to be fine. Yeah. I don't think that's the case. You know, there are real things happening.
Absolutely.
So not to minimize the risks, not to minimize the health hazards, not to minimize the spread, but to look rightly at it and say, yes, and I would choose to still trust God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what does that look like?
Yeah. Can I add one more thing? I just sort of wanted to share something that I feel like God was kind of showing me this past week. So in sort of accordance with what Donnie was talking about with like what all this looks like on social media and such, I think there's a real strong drive just because we're in the middle of like sort of political primary season and election season to sort of politicize the epidemic.
And stir up hate using it.
Yeah, definitely. Or even like to sort of wish for the disaster, or not disaster, but the sort of this situation, right? To result in one side getting elected versus another side getting elected. Which I definitely noticed in myself, but it occurred to me that as Christians, like the single most important thing at this time, one is that God's name is glorified, but then beyond that also just that lives are saved. Like what it's going to look like for our lives to be saved is for our leaders to succeed, actually.
Mm.
Right?
Mm. That's good.
both Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah.
It's going to take them to be successful at their jobs, which is why Paul is so wise in Romans to say, pray for your leaders.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause in moments like this, like, they matter a lot. Their success matters a lot. Their wisdom matters a lot. Their closeness with God and God's wisdom matters a lot. So I just wanted to share like that I definitely have been feeling very weighted with the need to sort of pray for leaders recently.
Mm. That's good.
That's good. Yeah.
I think another thing that comes to mind is what we have a gift of is being able to be in the body together.
Mm-hmm.
And while we are being told very much to socially isolate ourselves, to quarantine ourselves, and that's actually really good. I think if you are in contact with other people who might have high risk, or if you've been in situations where you do need to self-quarantine, like quarantine yourself. But the gift that we have in the body is not to neglect meeting together, not necessarily physically, but even online, what it looks like to encourage one another online and use the social media platform for other things, not just for memes and for looking at news or catching up on the latest trends and figures, to use it wisely to encourage one another, to even connect with each other, especially students who have to go home and they're not going to see another person in the community for a while. That is the way to encourage.
Yeah, another kind of quick point on this is I think a lot about the origins of the words encourage and inspire, that to like encourage someone is literally to kind of fill them with courage, and to inspire somebody is good. To like fill them with the Spirit, right? And so because social media is an extension of our words, right? Like, we actually sit down and we type words that mean to communicate something to someone. I think it's equally as important in the way that we use our words verbally, that we use our words on social media as well to actually fill people with courage, or to actually fill people with the Spirit. And this doesn't necessarily mean that we sort of pretend like there is no sort of risk, right? We can confront the risk as it exists, but courage is sort of not pretending like the thing is not going to be hard, but rather it is having someone be filled with strength, specifically God's strength, to encounter something which will be difficult or hard. And inspiring somebody is to like fill them with the power of God's Spirit, which is this incredible privilege that we have as God's priests who have received His Spirit. Mm-hmm. We actually get to pass the Spirit on to other people to fill them with strength and encouragement during difficult times. And that's a privilege that we have as priests of God. So.
And that's not just to Christians, it's to non-Christians. Who?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's powerful. Yeah, so we've talked about watching our words, the first one, and speaking life and not death, and taking all of this to God in prayer before we respond, and the importance of not giving up meeting together, even if that meeting can't physically be in person or it's not wise for it to be in person. Could I
say one more thing?
Yeah.
Just in that last one, just as we're sitting here thinking, like, you as leaders, this is what you have to lead.
Yeah.
Like, you and all of these things. So you don't just model. That's one part of leadership. You actually take the responsibility for others and leading them into this. So in other words, if there's people in your group, for example, or in your spheres, or on your team, or in your spheres of relationship within this church, who've now been asked to leave this city or their home, go home for the rest of the school year, unexpectedly, like, you do what you can to meet with them. For those who, in the coming days, there are people in our church who probably won't be attending our services because of their current health condition that they find themselves in.
Yeah.
Don't allow them to wither. Engage them. It might not be appropriate for you to stop by their house, but a phone is an easy thing to engage in, and to call people, and to just that idea of you know, to preserve those relationships. So leaders, these three things that we've said, and Sarah was just recapping. I'm sorry to interrupt, Sarah, but the idea of you know, watching our words, praying obviously to God and for one another, and all these things, but and then not give up, you know, this. The meeting together, this idea is something you have to lead. It's not something that can be accomplished from a centralized location in a church office. It's us actually being the church with one another.
Right. So, yeah. Flo said something so powerful this morning while we were talking about it as a staff that, just that the Church of Jesus is not a place of isolation. And so even as we may have to isolate physically, some of us or possibly all of us at some point or whatever winds up happening, that like we are not isolated in the body of Christ and that we get to help lead that in helping people to see that they are not in a spiritual sense or in a family sense isolated, mm-hmm. even if they are needing to stay home and stay out of physical gatherings for a little while. So we have those three things. And then our final point that we wanted to talk about is the opportunity that is in this. And Flo, do you want to elaborate on that
stories.
A little bit?
Tell us some stories that you've heard.
I think that it's been actually super encouraging as I've spoken to people, particularly in the China region. Mm-hmm. of how they've responded to the coronavirus. The stories that are coming out of Wuhan and the Christians there, it should put us to shame. Oh. Because the way that they're doing it is like they've put in all their efforts into reaching the community, especially those who cannot get close to a hospital bed. They're taking care of the sick with full protective gear on. And as well, getting supplies to the hospitals where there are not enough masks. They are putting gospel tracts into the supplies. They are going out and street evangelizing with masks on. And people are coming to know Jesus. And it is just so encouraging to see that. They've started an online huge chain of what it looks like to pray and fast together. The country and the Christians in it are coming together as one. And the same is happening in Hong Kong. There is a Lent app that all the churches in Hong Kong are participating in to pray and read the same passages together, to pray for unity in the city, pray for the virus, pray for revival. This is so inspiring. And I am encouraged that because the virus is bringing and exposing what humanity and maybe the fallenness of humanity, mm-hmm. the selfishness of it, it's causing a huge sort of ground that's ripe for harvest.
Yeah.
And it's up to us whether we reap it or we are sowing weeds into it.
That's good.
I just saw an update from our Every Nation churches in the region basically was talking about, what's happening there in Wuhan, but basically what's happening outside of it where it's not as bad and things, they're still locked down. He basically just said, we're ready as soon as the doors open, we're going in to minister and care for as many people as we can. No agenda. Yes, we want to see people come to faith, but the agenda is to glorify God by loving our neighbor and doing these things. Mm-hmm. And even recognizing that there's a lot of people who have lost family members in that, specifically in that city. And they're ready to go. And so I've been super challenged. And the funny thing is, where they started? They said the first thing we did, we started praying. The same thing that Flo was sharing just a minute ago. Mm. This is where we began. And now here's our plan.
Yeah.
For whenever, as soon as and they're doing other things as well, but I was just so challenged and encouraged that they're praying and mobilizing and they're not afraid. Or if they are, they're being bold in the midst of a kind of a scary situation.
Yeah.
But they're trusting God. And they're just, it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just kind of important to say that this is not sort of like Flo's new idea about how Christians should respond during an epidemic. This is actually how the church has always responded, right? Situation in history where people start running away from a thing, it's the Christians who run in, right? So the abandonment of girls, in the early Roman Empire, Christians were the ones who were adopting these girls and raising them. It's one of the reasons why Christianity has more women than men in contrast to other world religions today. also the Black Plague, right? Like there's another circumstance where Christians are running in instead of running away. So yeah, there's just lots of examples of this just kind of being in the DNA of God's church, is that when other people are sort of shrouded by fear or controlled by fear, we look at 2 Timothy 1:7 and see where it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but instead a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And then we put that to work so that other people might come to know the God of peace, or other people might come to know the God who gives the spirit that is of power, love, and a sound mind. So,
yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, and I think we've seen that even, so at the time of this recording, it's just been in the last 24 hours that many of the students in our city have been told they have about 5 days to move out of their dorms and head home for the semester. And we've already seen tons of people, like a huge outpouring from within our church and from all of Cambridge, really, of people offering help in terms of housing and in terms of logistical needs. Right now, the burden of sickness in our city isn't that high relative to the just number of people who have huge logistical needs coming on the end of these school declarations. But yeah, I think it's a powerful opportunity for us not just to serve the local body, not just to serve people in our church family, but also to hold something out to college students and anyone else in our city that are really anxious and afraid right now, and who have real logistical needs. That it's just an opportunity for us to show the love of Jesus by opening up our homes, by offering to help with plane tickets, by storing people's stuff until September. And I'm sure that the opportunities to do that are only going to grow as we continue to walk this out with our city. Yeah. Pastor Donnie, do you have any final words of encouragement for our leaders?
Hopefully not final, but but yeah. So for those of you who aren't leaders, maybe if you're not going, you don't attend a church and you just happen to come across this podcast, I just want to encourage you. Like, there are moments of shaking that happen, and some of those are things that happen personally to us in our lives. Some of those are experienced by communities, and some of those just the kind of seem to wrap their fingers around the globe. And stuff gets shaken in moments like these. And there's a way to allow that shaking to cripple us or to respond in faith. And I think that the gospel is constantly talking to a humanity that is broken, that finds itself in a broken world, and constantly calls us to this beautiful story, this narrative of a God who has entered into this world and is physically, tangibly at work. And a lot of the ways that he is at work, practically speaking, is through empowering and enabling his people to be a major blessing in the earth, and a blessing through both what they do and the physical things that they accomplish, whether it's caring for the sick physically, meeting people where they're at, whether that's trying to dream up good policies and ways to protect others or the spread of things like this, but also not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well, that we can be a people who can bring hope and healing and be a true just anchor of faith that would contrast the fear that that is just, I just feel like is just pervading people.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's mass and humor. We're just laughing about this. Like, I don't know what to do anymore. I can't high five anybody. I don't know what I can, like, and we make jokes about it, but a lot of times under that is fear. And we should be kind of people who exude faith, but also wisdom as well. Wisdom to not just like, just to be flippant about the situation we find ourselves in, not just say all those stupid universities that are shutting everything down and sending everything home. They have a responsibility, not just those kids that they're sending home, but also think about all the tenured professors, like who are older and in the risk population. Like, so like all the kids, well, if they get it, then it's not going to hurt them. Well, what about their entire faculty who would, so when we start thinking about these things, not to be just flippant, but like actually allow ourselves to be people who are ruled by faith and wisdom, and help us to walk this in such a way that we can minister well and serve others. And I just think we're poised to do it. I think the church is poised to do it. I think even our church, as young demographically as it is poised to be a reasonable voice who sacrificially serves, loves, and leads in such a way that just brings God a lot of glory, and also is a huge blessing to our city. And so for any of you who are listening to this and having to travel home, we love you. We miss you already. We're looking forward to the day when we see you again. For those who, for you and for those who are here, we just encourage you to lead well, be in prayer, lead in the spirit, watch your tongue, and continue to dream up ways that you or y'all, we can really be just agents of grace in our city. That's what I would have to say, Sarah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, I think that's it for this podcast.
We love you guys.
We do love you. And if you need anything, if this is your church home, you know the channels. Reach out. We're here to serve you, stand with you, and to run this race together. God bless you all.